Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 28th of December. Joining us this morning, once he's off his phone, Rex Bone. Good morning. And on the mic.
I'm chasing.
You got it backwards. You're off the wrong thing, and you're on the wrong thing.
I'm trying to get you listeners.
Oh. Ooh, you can double the audience there with that?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, okay, fine. You ready for our, why do we say that?
I'm like lunch meal. No, this might.
According to Hoyle.
Great cards.
Yeah. That's it?
That's it.
Are you going to disappoint your listener now? late in the 17th century, it became all the rage in England. Playing with a deck of 52 cards, it was the forerunner of today's modern bridge card game. Early players could choose between dozens of different kinds of play. There were so many varieties that Edmund Hoyle sent out to bring order to confusion. His book of rules, which went through many editions, came to be accepted as the final authority concerning the game of bridge. Anyone wishing to be sure that it was being played correctly used Hoyle's book as a guide. Widespread over the years, this practice causes us to say we're proceeding according to Hoyle when we believe we're doing things correctly in any area of activity. Not that complicated.
No,
but you're doing the old deer in the headlight here.
No. This sounds silly, but this makes me smile because my mother belonged to a bridge club, like a lot of our mothers did.
Right, right.
But the great thing was, Betty Ryan, Mary Miner, Mrs. Rex. Anyway, there was this whole crew, and every 3 months, they came to our house and played in our little front room with eight of them.
And with these things called card tables?
And they actually ate bridge mix. You know, they had a bridge mix candy. And stuff.
Okay.
And I remember all those old gals sitting around. I shouldn't say old gals.
Yeah. You're in the rearview mirror now.
Yeah. But all sat around. Majority of them smoked. They sat there and played bridge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then I know my mom up until she passed, was still playing bridge on a regular basis.
It was mom. Ralph, Maureen DeLorme, Sandra Lindstrom, Peggy Kirkpatrick. I mean, it was just this part of town instead of your part of town.
Peggy Kirkpatrick.
Yeah.
What a gal.
It was like, every month or so, they would rotate through.
Yeah.
You ever learned how to play it?
I was a go fish. Yeah.
Guy.
Crazy eights.
I kind of peaked at 52 card pickup.
But no, I never played. And I just, I wished it because I love playing poker. I really enjoy playing poker. And I just, so I was.
I don't have the guts to throw enough money down to make it exciting. So I figure I could lose it if it gets thrown out on the table.
I like to play in tournaments. I'll get in tournaments and stuff. They have a few local. But I mean, I like playing those because it is somewhat limited and stuff like that. But it is, it's fun.
Recreation.
The very little I get.
Yeah. Oh. So what was more exciting for you, the windstorm or the earthquake?
Windstorm. Wasn't as bad, and I say this because some people, you had a guy with...
Put a big asterisk on that one,
But a tree on top of him, and he was trapped in it. There were some serious instances, and it was not funny, but it was... Yeah, it was. PG&E demobbed that big... They brought 200 people up after the earthquake to make everybody, because of the weather and everything else, to get everybody fired back up, make sure all the gas mains they did a yeoman's job in getting up here through the holidays and into the holidays. And so they brought up that whole crew at Redwood Acres, and then they demobbed them. And when they demobbed them, right after they all got home, they started bringing people back, some of the crews back because of the high winds that were coming. And so they were, I don't know if how many we were had out with power during the wind, but I think we dodged a bullet.
I think it touched about 7,000.
And we dodged a bullet. I don't want to say we dodged a bullet because I spent 4 or 5 days straight down in Rio Dale following Supervisor Bushnell around, but helping down there where I could and things like that. But we had places like, historically, Honeydew Petroleum, I checked in first thing right there, and they had some things fall off the shelf. And usually that town, usually the coast right there,
right,
the Lost Coast just gets rumbled, and they didn't get much. and Ferndale. I mean, I was literally, what time was it, 2:25 in the morning or whatever. And I have a 102-year-old neighbor, Frances Rappin, who I just love, but she's a former library, you know, worker in the library and worked at the time. But she had celebrated her 102nd birthday the night before. So first thing I want to do is run over to her house because she's just got a lot of books. She loves books. She worked at the library. And I was worried that everything things had fallen. And, flying, she was, yeah. And her vision is quite impaired now. And I was worried she was going to have trouble walking. So I wanted to make sure she didn't try to walk down the hall and anything else. So I'm out there knocking on her door yelling because I've got her key at the house. I've got her key at the house, but I couldn't find it because where I keep all my keys, a hall tree had fallen over. So everything's kind of spread out. And so I lost a antique gas pump that I have out in front of my garage. It's laid out, but the guy that restored it 15 years ago has already picked it up, and he says, "Oh, I've done it once. I'm sure I can do it again. So, you know, things like that. So, and then, I mean, at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting with Chief Del Biagio at the firehouse, and firemen are there, and they're not finding anything. And then I went over to Chief Sly at the Ferndale Police, and he had his daughter, I think Ashley, with him, and it was quiet there, you know.
It
went under Ferndale and says, "Well, I got to get out of here somewhere," and just crapped on Riadel.
Yeah, it's Merritt had an interesting perspective. He said it's like it did an end around on both sides.
Yeah,
and you know, it came back together.
Well,
in Riadel.
It was a wave, and the wave came up underneath. You know,
yeah.
And I mean, even Fortuna, I mean, took some damage. I mean, I think they had 5 or 6 houses. I think they're up to 26 off the foundation. I said the other day at the meeting, I wouldn't be surprised to see 100 or 150, because they were talking about bringing a bunch of inspectors up from the Bay Area. And I think once they dial in, I think they might find more issues. But it hasn't necessarily.
But not the huge major.
It hasn't created an issue where And so they and they've got the gas lines and the power, water lines. You know, Riadel Public Works and everybody did a great job. There was a lot of people that came together in a hurry. They even had.
The thing that's kind of intriguing to me, and I guess we can talk about it after the break, is some people perceive that's unique, and it's like, no, that's us.
No, it's...
It's just, the way we roll.
92 was the same thing, and 92 was a lot worse. That's when we lost Scotia.
Yeah, the overpass.
So, I mean, it was... We were very fortunate. We had a couple related deaths because of medical reasons, but...
Right. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, as you look at some of the aftermath now, we've had a week and change from the earthquake. We've had a number of folks in from the county that said, did pretty good. Now there's been a little bit of time to go out and check things out a little bit. We do pretty good?
Yeah, overall, I think we're finding a few things. I think just like you are at home, you go to a cupboard, you haven't opened in 4 or 5 days, and all of a sudden everything you forget about, open it careful, and you open it up and everything's on the floor going, damn, didn't think about
that.
Yeah,
I had some time hit the floor.
Yeah. So, I mean, people are buying time if you got it.
Yeah.
No, anyway. No, I think all in all, I mean, there's things like... the Riadel, we've got homes we've got to take care of. We've reached out to our state levels. I mean, this isn't something to say, can we work? We need some money right now, and we need crews to put these people back in the house because it's the end of December. Bottom line. I mean, you know, don't tell me it's tight. Don't tell me it's, let's just make this work. the county building is, you know, we've got to make something up. We're going to have to put a perimeter around it and everything else. But you want to put a perimeter if you're going to lift it up and do things. So we need to hit the ground running. Some contractors have already donated their time to do that. Some of the young guns have gone out there and offered it, which I think is admirable. Now, Fernbridge, which was going to be, I mean, that's 7,500, 8,000 trips a day. People don't realize how many people travel Fernbridge. But, I mean, big shout out to Caltrans. I mean, they went through hoops and got contractors and people on the job and got the engineers and did all the checking and decided that if they, you know, shored and cribbed up the approaches, that they could probably go to one lane for a while, and they're expecting to hopefully go to two lanes real soon. So, and we're very fortunate up here. A lot of the people in charge at Caltrans grew up here, and I know them, or you know,
well, they know the territory.
We have a constant. I get phone calls, they call me back, and nobody's going to don't bother me. It's just, you know, that's the great thing about it, and we've got a great rapport up here. But so Fernbridge is open, and it's a 5-minute delay, 8-minute delay, and things like that. But it does not put all that traffic on Blue Slide.
Yeah, that would be the concerning
thing. And Blue Slide is a fair road, but it had problems. It had a big split.
It's still on Blue Goo.
It had it on a gaming wall where the split was, and it held up. Everything held up pretty well. But it's just, you've got the milk trucks. And that's the one thing. At 3:45 in the morning, the morning of the earthquake, I go through Blue Slide, and I'm heading to Ferndale, and I'm going, well, this looks kind of normal, but out in the valley, because all the dairies are all generators.
Right.
The girls don't wait to be milked for a few days. So they're all set up on generators, and they were all working and all milking. So, you know, and that was, you know, a sense of normacy for the over. But
well, probably for them, too.
That. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
But as we went along, we didn't get a lot of restrictions there. Like I said, a lot of services, a lot of help for Riadale. People are still calling, what can I do?
The focal point.
That was probably the ground central for us for the most damage, 26 homes, like I said, businesses and everything else. But
on the water system.
The water system, and they got it up. And I think it's 98% done. And I think, I don't know if they, as of yesterday, they were still boiling water, but that was soon going to be dropped because they just have to get the lines cleaned and everything. So they did a great job. But I mean, it was so funny. That morning, I called Scott Cooper at Humboldt Beer, South Fork Mountain, and he brought down 3 pallets of water right away. You know, 1 gallon, a pallet of gallons. And he just sent a guy down with him just to get it going. Well, within the next 2 days, I bet they probably got 4 truckloads of water. Humboldt Redwood, Select Cisco, all these people were sending stuff from Humboldt Redwood sent 4 pickups with a pallet in the back of each one, a pallet and a quarter in each one, up from Ukiah to take care of things. So they stepped up hugely. And then the Office of Emergency Services, I think, on the 23rd or whatever, they held a Christmas party at the fire hall for all the kids in Riadale. And Toys for Tots got involved. The little gal, the gal across the street from Dollar General heard about it and sent over 4 totes of toys. And so they just let the kids keep coming through the line. Must have been 150 kids, 200 kids, kept coming through the line, and there was food for the families and stuff like that. Because there was a lot. I imagine that's a pretty traumatic effect on people, you know, especially kids.
Well, and everybody in the community was impacted, too.
Yeah, and everybody wanted help. But now, like we always say with every big emergency, remember, this isn't a dash. This is a marathon. We've got a while now, and these people are going to need help for a while. So we just have to make it work. And so,
I, as folks have been coming through, I've been asking not only what's the takeaway, but how do you lessen it next time? What lessons were there? I mean, certainly modernization, you know, will help certain things out. And okay, that all makes sense. But are there other takeaways that the community can learn from? So that maybe next time, instead of a 90, it's an 85 or an 88. Yeah. Just a little bit
better. Ryan, and I got to give a big shout out. Office of Emergency Services through the Sheriff's Office, Ryan Darby, he did a fantastic job organizing. He actually organized the Christmas party with all those agencies. But it went off seamless. Cal OES was here. They did a great job. But there was a lot of synchronization amongst everybody.
Except for that streaming of the conference. Yeah, I'm thinking, hey, who are you guys kidding here? Yeah, you don't have any internet. What are you going to stream?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, but they everybody did a great job. Scott Adair, I mean, all the departments throughout the county stepped up and did a great job all the way. Alicia Hayes, our CEO, headed it all up, and they did a great job.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Feel comfortable being a supervisor still?
Yeah.
You're kind of hitting your stride now?
Yeah. 11 years later, I guess. Yeah. I have a, you know, I just...
Well, it's weird being a title.
I hate the title. People call me supervisor and I want to be called Rex. I mean, the thing is, and you talk to state and just state guys that were super, you get more work done as a supervisor. I mean, it's really good for us to worry about what's going on in the Ukraine and global warming is a big issue. Sea level rise, especially for us, is a big issue. But in the real world, our 135,000 people here and everything else, we need to meet our standards and do those things. But we need to take care of our 135,000 people and make sure our economy survives it too. Because if we're not going to solve, we can help with the world's problems, we're not going to solve them. We can solve local problems, and it's kind of a simplistic approach to it, but
it's a manageable one too.
But yeah, I just, you know, I'm not a, I look at the big picture, but I worry about a lot of the
small cog stuff. I think is the phrase.
You know, and I'm a simple guy, so it's easy for me to follow those things. But I mean, you know, you take a look at the smart people we have around here. I mean, Greg Allen's the new police chief in Riverdale. Kyle is not new, but he's the city manager down there. Those guys stepped up. You know, they had never, you know, Tammy Trent was her first day, I think, as being the new mayor of Fortuna. Hey, how do you like this?
Yeah.
Randy Katie and Ferndale, the new mayor in Ferndale. He got kind of a rude awakening going, hey, yeah, you got to help with it. He was all in for it. But I mean, these are new. You actually find out, you know, it's like being a supervisor. You find out. I mean, It's 4 years in, and you're reading something going, Jesus, we do that? I mean, you don't even know it, you know? But you take a look at all the people that, you know, got their houses cleaned up after the earthquake and got settled down, and, you know, the 200 aftershocks or whatever we had kind of.
Theo, that for me was.
Oh, hell, that 4.3 the other day, I was sitting at my desk, and that would, I think that would bother me more than anything because it was 3 days afterwards. I'm going, what the hell?
We were in here.
Yeah.
And it popped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, and then you take a look at this weather that they had across the, and the weather they always have at Christmas time and everything else.
Right.
But I've got a good friend, Lisa, who works for Enterprise. And you got to understand, when those planes get canceled and they have there's no light at the end of the tunnel, they're running to the road. He's like, hey, who wants to drive? Can we have a van? You know, try to get everything else. And I know she was on her off time and renting cars to people she does business with besides them going to their to the offices, the local offices and everything else.
Yeah, we heard some of the stuff with Fela, some of his buddies at Fox. You know, supposed to fly from Chicago to New York. They were carpooling. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you got to get there.
Well, no,
you
just, and it's just.
Yeah.
You know, like I
so those guys got slammed.
I mentioned the car rental business. Yeah. You got to understand, they hate one-way rentals. you know, because all of a sudden you're gonna end up with 40 cars in Eureka. You only need 25.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny, but they, she and Enterprise, they and I'm sure they all did, but Enterprise is who we use for the county and stuff, and we get great service. So it worked out pretty good all the way around. For I mean, I know a lot of people that just drove home. But then a lot of the places, what's so sad, a lot of the places, the weather wasn't conducive to driving. So
yeah, you couldn't get there from here.
I mean, I got a picture last night of Sacramento Airport and in the luggage area.
Oh.
And you could hardly even walk. There was so much luggage piled everywhere. Because the luggage, for some reason, was making it in the car. I don't know how. It just, or the people weren't able to get them. I don't know exactly what, but it was.
I got a buddy in Buffalo. It's like, okay, I'll see you in the spring thaw.
Yeah. So some people had a tough holiday. It was a great holiday, though. It was fun. I mean, you know, I bought my grandkids I bought them a trip to Disneyland, but I bought them a motorcycle, and it was all exciting Christmas morning till he
legit drove, one or one to, of the small to, the small
little XR50 guys. Prudent to their size,
age appropriate, yeah,
age appropriate and everything else, but everything was all fun and games till they drove it into the side of the house. Bam, boom, wow, that didn't work out very well. You know, and once we realized that the bleeding leg was not as bad as it looked. Papa Rex with the win for the child abuse.
Battle scars.
Anyway, no, I mean, the holidays were great. I think once everything settled down, you think about the people that step up and want to help. I mean, it just amazed me. Julie from Golden Gate in Ferndale, she called me up. So, Rex, did the kids need toys or anything? I'm going, Julie, you've been closed for 2 days. No business. Busiest time of the year for you. You had damage, I guess, and you want to give stuff away to help other people. I said, well, that's what we do. You know, that's what everybody does.
Well, we had a number of calls here, people asking, okay, how do we help?
Yeah.
You know, and it's not product necessarily. It was, how do we help get folks, whether it was the Salvation Army or Red Cross, who do we donate?
Red Cross did a great job. Red Cross, you know, did a great job. They set up that center in Fortuna. It got busy one night, and then some people were finding Scotia Lodge. I shouldn't say Scotia, but Scotia Lodge and a lot of other hotels gave rooms for 5 or 6 days, no charge to families if they were, you know. And at the end of the day, we only had, you know, 30, 35 families, I think, at the most. It had to be. You know, and they had a lot of men families, but some needed rooms and somewhere to stay and have some sense of normalcy till they could figure out what was going on. So,
well, that's the biggest thing too.
You talked about can we improve anything else? And I says maybe our system could improve, but the deep down
the people part
you can't, because people just step. Everybody wanted help. I mean, I was spending more time trying to find people where they could donate money. Give stuff. And I mean, I was trying to explain to people, like, you know, clothes aren't really necessary right now, you know, because they got some of their clothes out of their house and stuff like that. Because it wasn't like a forest fire where their houses burnt down and they lost everything. But I mean, Linda at Recology calls up and says, hey, who do I call? Should we be putting out some dumpsters so people can somewhere for their broken glass?
Yeah, we got the North from Frank.
Stuff,
yeah.
And groceries. I mean, but Linda just, you know, Linda and
just do
Frank,
it.
They just, Hanks, they all say, hey, can we help? And they start dumping them, and you start thinking about, these are not quote unquote they're not local businesses, but they're run by local people that worry about what's happening locally. So and it's just kind of cool, because you know all these people, and you're going, yeah, I knew that's pretty cool.
You knew they were stepping up.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bohm. So, Rex, in anticipation of the next whatever, yeah, we haven't had a flood for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, probably won't this year, but who knows? The next earthquake, have one of those. Next windstorm, tidal wave, take your pick. What actions does the county have to suggest for us? I mean, is it simple things? Is it activity things? Is it funding things? What are the things that, if there was a broad stroke, big brush, what is it?
A couple things, Brian. Go online to the OES, the Office of Emergency Services, and it gives you a lot of guidelines, how to be prepared, what to be prepared for, how to be prepared. I'd say the biggest thing is, and it's some of the things that come out of line, because so many, basically, the internet was knocked offline for a while in some areas because of tower mishaps, things went like that and everything else. But the one thing, the one constant that I started, I think the first time you and I talked on the morning of the earthquake was 10 after 3 in the morning. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty early in the morning, you and I, you know, and then I'll give credit to Roland out there at the their station, Garberville Station, which we gave a few years ago, we gave some money to them to update their emergency radio system so they could report down in Soham, down right. to patrol you, honeydew, and things like that. It's kind of funny. We go back to the old things, and I haven't known, but I know the ham radio guys probably step up, and that's probably the oldest sense. But, I mean, you guys are an upgrade from that. But our local radio stations, I heard, and I think you mentioned it, so many people says, I heard you on the radio. Thanks for the interview. You know, thanks for the interest. And I was posting a lot of stuff. I was, you know, on Facebook trying to give updates. I mean, a lot of them were on Fernbridge. A lot of them were on other roads because people, and a lot of them were on power. Again, I mentioned earlier, you know, Allison Talbot and the crew at PG&E kept us fully informed of what they were doing, what the estimated times.
Did you get any info yesterday with... We couldn't get a word out of PG&E yesterday.
Yeah, then we had Seth call me from Grocery Outlet, and he was out at Strong Street Plaza, was out, and I'm not so sure it was wind-related. It was probably wind, damn. But he went out yesterday afternoon after the winds had basically died down, but some wires had come apart and then come all the way apart, I understood, because Allison was right on it and gave me phone calls back and everything else, so we can get the word out there. And, I mean, and in all honesty— That's the biggest job we can do as county supervisors, is keep our people informed, be available for them to call us, and try to get back to them.
Well, that's why
bottom line.
I'd written down the biggest issue, I guess, was people calling 911 for information.
Yeah.
Instead of reporting major issues. And that's what I saw. You know, Brian and I have already talked. Billy, we'll spend some time also.
We had an incident night before last up there towards Pine Hill, domestic violence.
That
was tragic as hell.
Yeah.
But I happened to be coming into the office about 6:20 yesterday morning. I'd gone up there. I did not get in the way just to make sure. People were nervous. I'd got a few phone calls from people going, is this guy at large? Was this, no, it's pretty well contained. And God bless that little girl, and blessings to the families that were involved. But the two dispatchers, two of the dispatchers were coming out from under the basement together, coming out, and I just looked at them and I says, "Long night." He says, "Tough night." "Are you doing okay?" And they were newer, just, and they were doing fine. But it's a pretty traumatic scene for those dispatchers up there on that board answering stuff like
that. Yeah. It would be interesting to see how they are able to process versus, like, pick a metropolitan area where it becomes more routine. Is it any easier for those that deal with it a lot, or is it more like shell shock where you can have so many of them and then it's over?
And that's the blessing. I mean, somebody said, the murder rate is going to jump in at the end of the year here and everything else. I said, when you only have 3 or 4 a year, I think, or something like that, 2 is going to make a big difference. And
if you're worried about the percentage reports, come on.
I want to get to zero, but I mean, the sheriff's department did a great job getting there. Less than 5 minutes, get there from the first call at, 12 o'clock at night. So, I mean, sheriff's department, public service, everybody. It amazed me after the earthquake at 3 o'clock and like 3:30 in the morning when I'm driving to Ferndale, how much Caltrans, Public Works, law enforcement, and guys that weren't on duty that had come out and on duty, and it was absolutely amazing,
happening.
Heartwarming, and people wanted to help their neighbors, not just because it was their job. So
very cool. Well, thanks for coming by, buddy.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy. See everybody tomorrow.